There are lots of things you can spend your tax refund on, but one thing you don't have to spend it on? A new smartphone. Switch to MetroPCS now and get not one, but two free 4G LTE smartphones for brands like Samsung and LG. Plus, you're on T-Mobile's blazing fast nationwide 4G LTE network. Hurry, switch to MetroPCS and get two free smartphones after instant rebate. One heck of a deal, only at MetroPCS. Limited time offer. Sales tax not included in phone price. Coverage and services not available everywhere. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Total Spotlight Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, Tolter.net, for more information. Twitter, Tolter, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, and also on Periscope at Total Tutor. And tonight is the, I guess, caucus. I'm used to, you know, they call it a primary. They changed the name, all these different things. So I'm going to first welcome the program author Rob Roselli. And Rob, surprised that Ted Cruz won and that Bernie might win this caucus tonight.
Who? Ted Cruz?
Yeah.
Ted Cruz won?
Yeah, Ted won.
Oh, I'm really excited for him. I mean, you know where I stand on this whole thing. I mean, it's a circus with a bunch of clowns, the clowns being a so-called presidential candidates. I don't know what to say. Who cares, I guess.
I mean, that's a great point. Who cares? But, I mean, to see a socialist almost win Iowa, and Bernie, they're tied 50-50 right now. It's against Hillary. Hillary really is, her goose is cooked, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, you know, Hillary and her husband, Bill, I mean, they're Bilderbergs, which, you know, they've attended the Bilderberg meeting, which is an annual meeting of world elites, where the real world government meets, not these buffoons, losers, and goofballs you see running for this so-called presidency. I don't quite understand the whole thing, but you know, but they're low level. I mean, she obviously has an insatiable appetite for power. I mean, she should know better that the presidency doesn't really mean anything, but. Well, like obviously there is to a certain extent, you know, some kind of power, and then you get to be in charge of the sheep to an extent, as much as the overlords will let you be in charge. But you know, whatever. I mean, she's obviously lying with this whole email scandal thing. Her story keeps changing. It's actually insulting to listen to her, give her excuses and the analogies and everything she makes. Now, nothing makes any sense. But unfortunately, the American people are stupid enough, or enough of them are stupid enough to buy into her line of crap that she's able to get on national news every day and with her spew and her nonsense and get away with it. And she probably will get away with it. She's gone this far with her criminality, and it hasn't stopped her yet. So, in a sense, she's like a bacteria, like a plague bacteria. You take penicillin, and then the bacteria builds resistance to it, and you just, all these scandals and all the criminal activity that hasn't caught up to her yet, she just becomes more and more immune. The worse the charges get, and the longer she survives, and the more she survives and thrives, you know, the stronger she becomes. But and who's the other buffoon, Bernie Sanders?
Yes, or do you think he's just a clown?
I look at a guy like that, and I see it, a genuine idiot. Okay, I mean, I look at Hillary, and I see subtlety, I see intelligence, I mean, you know, cunning, evil. Okay, don't get me wrong.
Yes, Hillary is
very intelligent. You know, Himmler and Joseph Mengele and these kinds of guys. I mean, highly intelligent people. But I'm not saying, I don't mean it as a compliment. The way they use their intelligence status. But I look at Bernie Sanders, I'm like, he's just a stupid guy. I was watching someone interview him in one of these YouTube videos, and I can't remember who it was for, but they were interviewing Bernie Sanders, and basically it went something like this. I mean, the guy was asking Bernie, you know, he's just a big doofus, you know, he's like a grandfather, you know, well into senility. Asking, well, if do I have the right to steal my neighbor's money. And if I can, I go knock on my neighbor's door or hold up my neighbor at gunpoint and take his money. It's like, do I have that right? Obviously, I mean, at least right now. But let's just, the government's granted itself that right. But that's another story. But let's just, but you know what I mean. So you don't have the right to go and steal your neighbor's money. So what the guy was asking Bernie was saying, well, we don't have that right as individuals to steal our neighbor's money. Then how can they collectively vote? How can they vote in a right that they don't have? So in other words, how can the majority vote you in and grant you a right that they don't even have? So in other words, Bernie's an ardent socialist, and he had no answer for this guy. I mean, obviously, the obvious answer is, well, you know something, you're right. You can't. We don't have that right. If you don't, you can't vote in a right you don't have. You can't just vote in right. Mm-hmm. Think about the logic. Think about the logical conclusion in that. Then they can vote in Genghis Khan and go out and start slaughtering people. The point was, he couldn't answer the guy. He just sat there with this stupid look on his face and, I'm blowhard, I'm for the people vote for you, whatever this guy says. And, he sounds like he knows what he's talking about, but he's really just a babbling idiot. And I'm just watching this go on. And finally, Bernie got up and said, I'm hired by the people, I have to go vote. But he could not, he would not, but I think he could not answer this guy's question. I think the guy had actually stumped him. He could just be lying, and he could just say he knows the answer. He just didn't want to say it, being an ardent socialist. But whatever. And I just sat there and watched this and said, half the country buys into this guy's line of crap. And I look at his followers. I mean, young college kids. They go to these colleges. They listen to these Ivy League, ivory tower crap from these utopian-minded professors with this six-year-old mentality utopian mentality of socialism. And it brings out the whole, talking about free college tuition, and it's just...
I mean, yeah, I hear, I hear you. I mean, it's amazing that, I mean, kind of defined to me, Rob, what you think our country would look like with socialism. I mean... Literally, people would stop working. It would be almost like communism in a certain way, because we give so much money to people to do nothing that our society would just say, hey, let's just, there's a lot more entertainment in the United States, Rob, when you're not working than in other countries in the world, isn't there?
It's a joke. I mean, the fact that you have a guy that has a sizable percentage. The guy's never going to win a presidency, but the fact of the matter is, it's a sizable percentage of this country, especially the so-called young people, the college educated. Remember what it was, you need 4 years of college, and that gets your ticket to success. This is tickets to success, to believe a senile old man telling you that you can go to college for free and he's your guy. I mean, think about how stupid that is. But that's exactly the point. I mean, logically, it just doesn't. Communism, socialism, fascism, whatever you want to call it, it works from a 6-year-old utopian Peter Pan, Robin Hood kind of standpoint, but logically it makes no sense. As you say, it takes away the incentive for people to work. I mean, it's just obvious. If you're going to get paid X amount of dollars, no matter how hard or how little you work. And of course, human nature being what it is, of course you're not going to work.
Right, why exactly, yeah.
Why should you? And then on the other side, then on top of that, then you got the animal farm mentality that says, everybody's equal and some are more equal than others, which on the surface sounds, well, that's stupid. That makes no sense. Well, there you go. But that's communism. I mean, everybody's equal, but some are more equal than others. So Karl Marx and all these other morons, the heroes of the American intellectual left, the Anglo-American establishment, you know, the so-called intellectuals in this country who idolize Karl Marx. There's a wait a second. Well, how does it really work? I mean, you can't have perfect equality. Somebody has to be in charge of all this equality. I mean, you know, this is what happens. You know, when these, and I don't make distinctions between fascism, you know, the Nazis, socialism, communism, corporatism. I know there's intellectual, there's slight definition variations and this sort of thing. You know, and a communist is just a violent socialist, and, you know, fascism is a combination of you know, corporations in private hands but controlled by the government. And there's combinations of everything in between. The bottom line is, in any one of those systems, okay, it's a logical freight train collision, okay? It makes no sense, okay? Because you're putting a very small group of people in charge of a lot of people, of the masses. So what you have is inequality to the nth degree.
Yes.
Okay? And the best example of this, of course, is the Politburo in the so-called old Soviet Union. I mean, you had all this equality. You spread the misery equally, but the Politburo, I mean, they were the government. They were the powerful. They were the power elite in the old Soviet Union. They were driving the Western, you know, the Lincoln Town cars and the Western products, and, you know, ironically, the products of Western society. Meanwhile, you know, people are fighting over a gallon of milk and some potatoes in the supermarket because of all the equality that communism provided to the people, okay? So it's just, it's patently ridiculous, okay? So you're seeing right there, you're seeing it just, it doesn't make sense from a logical standpoint, and of course, in reality, it never worked, it never has worked. The only place it works, again, is in the idiot Ivy League colleges, your Harvards, your Yales, your Cambridge universities,
right.
Your Oxfords, okay? Even someone like Plato, okay, and I know I'm probably sound like I'm lashing out at everybody, and I guess I am.
Yeah.
Right? Like a Plato. Yeah, I don't look at Plato, okay? But oh, Plato, you know, a great philosopher, a great Greek philosopher. You know what? Screw him, okay? You know, and I've read some of Plato. You know, I've read enough about him. I've read what he wrote. I read some of his works. I don't remember which one of his plays or his so-called writings I read. I remember it was Timaeus or whatever it's called. I can't pronounce the name, and people are probably out there, you know, probably saying, who's this guy, you know? But anyway, I'm sitting there reading this, and, you know, how Plato wrote about, he wrote in like this, you know, whatever it is, third person, you know, where he asked questions, or, you know, in this particular case, it was, you know, so-called intellectuals sitting around the table and arguing over what truth was. And, of course, Plato was, you know, a believer in Atlantis, and, you know, Atlantis, which, by the way, has a lot of parallels with something called Nimrod in the Tower of Babel in the Bible, by the way. But from Plato's standpoint, he called it the Golden Age. Okay, really, what it was the ultimate communistic / paganistic society. But anyway, yeah, I'm reading this, and I say, what an arrogant person, just to sit there and make up these characters and have them sit around and deciding what the truth is for the so-called unwashed masses. And then basically, what Plato was a communist before communism. No, before the term communism was developed. I mean, basically, what he was saying, he was more or less like Karl Marx in theory. You know, look, in theory, you can make anything sound good. Everybody gets an equal amount, and society should just work and should be run by a scientific and / political elite. Is basically what he was saying, okay? And some people may be familiar with something called, you know, he had this other allegory, this other story called The Cave, okay, where the masses of people are stuck in a cave,
okay.
In the dark, and they're in chains, they don't know what's going on, and, you know, they're chains, you know, someone comes in, obviously, you know, one of the elites comes in and lets the people, you know, loosens the shackles. And, you know, some of the people, the masses that are chained in the dark, in the cave, they come out into the light, okay, and they don't know what to do. They're blinded, you know, like they're coming from the dark, you go into the light, I mean, your eyes need a certain time to adjust, and this sort of thing. But the point was that the people came into the light and they couldn't take it. They didn't know what to do, so they went back into the cave and stayed in the dark, okay? So this is, you know, the rationale being that, you know, most people are too stupid to understand. Most people need to be led. And the people that do the leading are the self-appointed, self-aggrandizing intellectual elite, okay? In 500 B.C., this was Plato and the so-called great Greek philosophers, Aristotle, Pythagoras, Solon, and these kinds of people, okay? In the Middle Ages, okay, we call these people the Rosicrucians, apart from the Royal Society, and we've talked about the Rosicrucians, okay, and these sorts of people. And today we call these people Harvard and Yale.
Okay. All right, so Rob, so when we get back, we're going to continue the conversation and see where we're going. Interesting. I completely agree with you. I mean, I think socialism in this country would be as bad as communism in the Soviet Union, because our country, literally, we take care of people who don't work, who sit on their butt watching television for 10 hours, sleep 12 hours a day, and that's what they do. And they have the ability to work. You're listening to the Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google+, and at Periscope, at TotalTutor. And I'm with Rob Roselli, author, and we're having a very, very interesting conversation. Go to boxofsunglasses.com to purchase the book, at Rob Roselli on Twitter. To purchase the book right on the website, right through the publisher, go to boxofsunglasses.com to purchase the book. And Rob, I tell you, you're seeing what I'm seeing. If we elect Santa Claus, Bernie Sanders, basically the country's choosing not to work. They're choosing to basically just have fun and let the hardworking people of America pay for them.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's just get back to it, okay? I mean, we just kind of gave a little bit of the so-called secular background. And then there's a big religious background to all this, and I guess we'll get to that at some point in the show. But again, yeah, the site is boxofsunglasses.com, and people can go on there and they can read everything what I'm saying. Of course, the ultimate, you know, the model socialist society in the 20th century was Adolf Hitler's Germany. I write about that. American genocidal complex, you know, of course, with a facade of you know, environmentalism and abortion and eugenics and, you know, Darwinism and all this, threw all that stuff into a pot, mix it in with some, you know, some socialism, and you get Hitler's Germany all bought and paid for in the United States. There's a lot of parallels to Hitler society and to what the United States is becoming today. But anyway, that's exactly what's going on here, okay, is the American people have basically been bought and sold. We've been dumbed down. We've been made lazy. We've become spoiled. I mean, look, we're all spoiled to an extent. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, look, I have a good life. You know, I have the TV, and I'm not going to say I don't watch football and, you know, and certain entertainment. I severely limit my intake of sports, and I refuse to watch network television and these stupid adult cartoons and all these other stupid shows that, you know, Fox and all these other people put out for the American people, you know, to dumb us down and sedate us, basically. Just like my favorite movie, John Carpenter's They Live. But you're exactly correct. What's happening is people are just becoming fat, dumb, and lazy, especially the American people, okay? And this is all by design. You know, I think it was Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin. I don't remember which. You know, one of our so-called racist founding fathers. You know, those evil white guys that owned slaves and also their nonsense. They're just browbeaten and beaten down today in our so-called free public schools. Okay, we'll get to that joke.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That would crack me up. Isn't that funny? I mean, free public schools. Only the government can force you into something at gunpoint and a threat of wage garnishment. You know, of course, the IRS, you know, funding, you know, the Department of Education and so-called free education. All the government can do that and say that we have free education. So there you go, Bernie Sanders. There's your free education. You got to stick a gun in somebody's head and threaten to take their house if they don't pay their real estate taxes to pay for the free public schools. So there you go, you Bernie Sanders supporters and you stupid asses out there. There's your free education right there that we have in this country right now. But anyway, what he's really getting at is people, he's just catering to people's laziness, which is a human characteristic, okay? It's just depressing. You know, as much as I believe in the Bible, I know God's it's just the whole mess. It's still, I'd be lying to you if it's just, I just get so disappointed when I see these young kids out there, these so-called, you know, getting involved in a political process or whatever nonsense Fox News calls it, because, you know, Uncle Bernie, you know, the old senile grandfather promised them free college, so, you know, they're all out there, Bernie, just like they were for all Obama, you know, back in 2008 when he promised, you know, free health care and all kinds of freebies and all this other crap. It's just amazing how much
people take.
But the point is, I think it was Franklin or Thomas Jefferson said, people that will trade security for liberty deserve neither. So if you're willing to let the government to bathe in the security of free government goodies, you're willing to give up your liberty, okay, which is really what you're doing, okay, to get free government stuff, in this case, free government health care or free government education, you really deserve neither, and you're going to get neither, okay? I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, as soon as you start taking everything for free, it sounds good. It entices you. It sucks you in. And all of a sudden, boom, you're owned. You're owned by the government, okay? With the education system, when we had an evolution, remember the evolution debates?
Right.
Another aspect of this called evolution. I remember after, what was it, 3, 4, or 5 hours, I don't remember how many shows, I could not get one evolutionist to answer a simple question in regards to Newton's laws of motion. Okay, and I knew I was asking them a question to which I knew there was no scientific answer to prove my point that evolution has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with science. It's hogwash. And I illustrated that point. I mean, the morons I was debating, from the lawyer to the professor,
right,
to the physicist, couldn't figure that out. And I say morons from a biblical standpoint, okay, fools, brutish. These are words in the Bible that God calls people that reject them, and obviously that's what all these people were. But anyway, but at the end of towards the end, I just asked a simple question. I said, why do we have to be forced into your viewpoints, and why do we have to be forced at gunpoint? Why do we have to be forced under the threat of IRS wage garnishments? In other words, let's say you just refuse to pay your taxes. You say, I don't want to send my kid to public school. I don't believe in what they're teaching over there. I'm not going to pay my real estate taxes, or I'm not going to pay my federal taxes.
Right,
I'm not
going to
fund the Department of Education. You don't have that choice in America. We're not free, okay? We're not in reality. I mean, we say we're free, but we're not free. Think about it. If you did that, what's going to happen? Either the IRS is going to come and garnish your wages or seize your bank account, or the local sheriff's going to come and take your house if you don't pay your real estate taxes. So people just say, well, hell with it. I'm going to send my kid to the public schools. I'm paying for it anyway. So in other words, you're being forced into the public school system. So that was my question. I said, wait a second. I said, if you're your theory, and you guys are so right, and you think you can stand up on your own, then why do we have to be forced? Why are we being forced into your point of view? I mean, only a liberal okay? Only an idiot, fool, liberal, just like the government, only they can force you into something at gunpoint under the threat of wage garnishment. And then when you get there and you disagree with their point of view, then they call you intolerant. I mean, it's comical. It's comical. Of course, the obvious reason is that socialism, secularism, right, whatever you want to call it, it sounds good on the surface, but ultimately it cannot stand the test of logic and questioning and competition, okay? And this has religious overtones, okay? Because the devil can't stand competition is what it belongs, really, really, ultimately where it's all going. I mean, on a secular level, it all sounds good, but in the end, it cannot stand up to any kind of questioning. It can't stand up to true intellectual debate, so it has to be forced onto people at gunpoint. Hitler's Nazi Germany, Mao's China, so-called old Soviet Union, Pol Pot, Cambodia, Cuba, Castro's Cuba, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, because ultimately, you can't have competition. Okay, you had to have the wall separating East Germany and West Germany. Right. So why do you have to have this? Because the Russians knew, you know, the old Soviet Union knew. If you know, if we give people a choice, of course, our society is going to empty out. Everybody's going to be gone. People aren't going to stick around. Of course, they're going to go to West Germany, you know, West Berlin. So it's the same. It's the same mentality. The only difference is in the United States, we have just enough freedoms left from what the founders, from the God-fearing founders of this nation, granted us and established for us. We have just barely enough left, but we have the facade of freedom, and people believe they're free. But as I've just said, when you really think about it, we really are not free, okay? It's just where we are. So that's kind of the overtones of what I'm saying. Now, you go back to Leviticus 25 for proclaim liberty throughout the land. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, for what Trump. Remember, they were all over Trump. You know, he misquoted this. But basically, what it says is, you know, where the Lord is, there is freedom. When you think about it, okay, this is. I'm trying to tie this all together, but basically, this ties in. We're just looking at the quote conspiracy. We're just looking at it from a completely different angle tonight, I guess.
Right, right. And then we get back. We're getting ready for the next two segments. More of the coke conspiracy leading to what they do. They make our entire society want to do nothing, and then that's the easiest way to take control. That's the easiest way to take over. Is to promise them the world, have the government give you the world, and yet you don't put any effort in. You're listening to the Total Spotlight Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and also Periscope at TotalTutor. We're with author Rob Roselli, boxofsunglasses.com right now. You can click on it, purchase the book. You also could tweet him at Rob Roselli to see some of the interesting tweets that he brings about every day. Now, Rob, so I guess I gave you that update about Ted Cruz, but I think more of the update is about Bernie Sanders neck and neck with Hillary Clinton. And you talk about, but I say that, who wouldn't vote for Santa Claus? That's what Rush Limbaugh said before. Who wouldn't vote for Santa Claus? Because if you give everyone everything, why? What incentive is there to work hard?
Well, you know, let me just do an aside, and I know I go off on tangents all the time, but hopefully I'm entertaining enough for people to listen to. Well, let me just, you know, Rush Limbaugh's an idiot, all right? And I used to listen to that guy back in the 90s, and I thought he was great. But then, you know what, I look back now, and he's just an idiot. He's a Republican establishment buffoon. All right, he comes out now, and he starts talking about, you know, he's Mr. Anti-Establishment. I say, shut up, Rush. Okay, you buffoon. Okay, the David guy that was for something called NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. I mean, he was all for it. Anybody that called in and you know wanted to talk about the Federal Reserve was a conspiracy kook, and you know, we see where that's gotten us. I mean, we're on the verge of economic calamity of biblical proportions, as we've talked about at a show in the past, which is happening right now. I mean, you'll never know that watching these, you know, these so-called caucuses and these clownish buffoons debating about nonsense. And all this sort of thing, you know, Mr. Bush, you know, Mr. Pro Bush and Mr. Pro Newt Gingrich, you know, and all these other Republican establishment types. Now all of a sudden, now the, you know, the popular thing, and people are figuring out what a scam the whole two-party system is. Now all of a sudden, you know, he's some kind of populist. So that, you know, that guy just annoys me. But anyway, but that's, you know, in that case, I'm not saying he's wrong about everything, but anyway, you know, in that case, you know, who wouldn't vote for Santa Claus? But even that, as I was saying before, it's not so much that. You know, it's a sophomoric, immature, six-year-old mentality.
Okay? Right, okay.
They vote for Santa Claus, but just think about it. I mean, if people had half a brain, okay, if people weren't so dumbed down with their iPhones and their, you know, their stupid commercials and their endless entertainment, their bread and circuses, just like the Roman Empire, which has a lot of parallels, which basically a direct parallel to the modern-day United States, by the way. We're just an accelerated version of it. Things happen a lot faster in today's world because of technology. But anyway, I think it even goes deeper than that. It's, you know, who wouldn't vote for Santa Claus? It's like, wait a second, people should be smart enough like me, and look, I'm no brain surgeon, okay, I'll be the first one to admit it, but people have to give pause and say, wait a second, Uncle Bernie, what are we really talking about here? You're saying free college. You say, wait a second, we have, you know, how many colleges in this country? I mean, I don't know, 5,000, 10,000, you know, between, you know, big colleges, community colleges, small colleges, I mean, who knows, whatever the number is, so wait a second, so you're going to take an entire industry, all those jobs and all the money it takes to run those colleges, and you're going to give it to us for free, Uncle Bernie? People should say, wait a second, I smell a rat here. This doesn't mathematically, it's mathematically impossible to do what you're talking about, Uncle Bernie, okay? It's just not going to work. And 150 years ago, he would have been laughed out of town. He would have been, yeah, he'd be the court jester. Okay, he'd be laughed out of town, because when you look at the education level, the education of this country that kids got, I don't know if you ever saw this, and once in a while you come across these tests, okay, that they, you know, kids in the public schools, when they were, you know, you had the Bible in school, and you know. Back in the day when America was America, but the tests that these kids had to take just to go from say sixth grade to seventh grade.
Right, right.
I mean, I take these tests, and I gotta, you know, and I consider myself fairly educated. I mean, these tests to me are a challenge. Okay, and this is what kids were taking in their teens. You know, back in the day when the education system in this country was truly an education system. And most college seniors, okay, most could not pass, okay. So this just tells you the dumbing down of America, okay. It's not an accident. This is why a guy like Uncle Bernie can get on there and get a sizable percentage of the population to follow him. It's not. It goes much deeper than Rush Limbaugh saying, you know, who wouldn't vote for Santa Claus? That's superficial and stupid. Okay, the bigger question is, and I don't think he won't go there, because then you get into the quote conspiracy, the quote Federal Reserve conspiracy. But I don't care, because I don't have a, you know, $50 million contract I have to maintain.
Right.
I don't have to keep my corporate owners happy. So I'll just come out and say, okay, this is the same, the dumbing down of the education system is tied into the same quote conspiracy that we talk about on the show every week. Okay, our Federal Reserve money-changing overlords,
right.
They're not stupid.
No.
They've overtaken the education system the way they've overtaken the banking system and the media in this country. Okay, and they dumbed it down. Well, first they took God out of the equation. They took God out of the schools in 1947 with this separation of church and state. Okay, Brown versus Board of Education. Okay, the Supreme Court said there's a law of separation between church and state. It's a complete scam, okay? They misquoted. They took Thomas Jefferson. He wrote a letter. They took him completely out of context. Thomas Jefferson was talking about separating church and state. It was the church-state setup you had in Europe for the, say, the past 1,500 years, say, from the time of the collapse of the Roman Empire to the establishment of the United States, okay, from around 300 to, say, you know, let's just say 1776, just to give people an idea of what we're talking about. You know, in other words, right. The Catholic Church's overtaking of the governments of Europe, okay, that was the mentality, okay, and of course in England this became the Anglican Church, I mean, a spin-off of the Catholic Church. You know, Henry VIII wanted to get divorced, and the Catholic Church said no. So, you know, Henry VIII in England, basically said, well, F you. I'm gonna start my own church over here in England and call it the Anglican Church. But anyway, you know, it still had the same power. But, you know, the point was that the Catholic Church was very much involved in the government, if not the government itself, and the feudal society in the Dark Ages of Europe. That is the separation of church and state. In other words, the physical church of Roman Catholicism in Europe would never rule in the United States like the way it did in Europe. That's what Thomas Jefferson was talking about. He was talking about eliminating the Bible, okay, and basic morality from schools. Okay, so that's a whole scam. The people that came up with this scam, they know better, okay? The quote conspiracy knows better. Okay? They know. They knew they had to get the Bible. They knew they had to get this moral foundation, okay, the lessons of the Bible. They knew they had to get that out of the so-called free public schools in order for them to rule, okay? You know, it's just, I mean, you know, phrases like, you know, Proverbs 22:7, you know, the debtor is slave to the lender. Or 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, you know, if you don't work, you shall not eat, okay? Which sounds harsh, but if you think about it logically, it actually is not, okay? Things like that. I mean, you know, again, it sounds good. It sounds good to a dumbed-down American college kid, you know, well, it's cold, you know, the Bible is, you know, the Bible's cruel, you know, if you don't work, you shall not eat. But what happens? I mean, you know, if you veer off a biblical model, okay, you end up with an Orwellian, Soviet, German, Nazi welfare system, okay, government-controlled welfare system, which is just evil to the core and evil to the max, okay? You know, but if you look at other places in the Bible, you know, you know, right. The Ten Commandments, those are not covered, James. In the book of James, you know, faith without works is just like the body without spirit, you know, it's dead. So in other words, there is charity. Okay? Of course, there's charity in the Bible. Okay, and the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
And of course, you know, Matthew 19, you know, the rich man, you know, comes up and, you know, asks Jesus, you know, what do I have to do? And, oh, you know, follow the Ten Commandments and, you know, all the, and then the rich man says to Jesus, well, these things I do, you know, what else do I need to do? And Jesus says, give up all your wealth and follow me. And the guy takes off. The guy's like, you know, I'm out of here. And that's what the old Jesus said. And Jesus didn't go chasing him, by the way. Jesus on the side. I mean, just look at them. Jesus didn't go chase the guy down with the IRS, okay, and the sheriff's department looking, you know, to garnish the guy's wages and, you know, take his house. Jesus let the guy go.
Right.
But what parable? This is the famous parable, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He just said it, okay, because this compassion, it has to be voluntary, okay? If it's
right.
Compassion at gunpoint, first of all, it makes no sense of what we're talking about, but the person holding the gun becomes all-powerful, okay, in a secular sense. But anyway, the point is that this is why our real power brokers, the same people behind the Federal Reserve, you know, your J.P. Morgans, your Rockefellers, your Vanderbilts, your Carnegies, and all these other people, Ford, they knew the communists founded the American Civil Liberties Union, okay, founded by communists, Roger Nash, Baldwin, and all these kinds of people. this is why they knew that this foundation, this is block of American society known as the Christian Bible, which our founders insisted needed to be in the public schools, the Bible in its purest sense, not the church of the, not the Roman Catholic Church as we talked about, the real church, okay, and the separation of church and state, but the biblical foundation. But it was taken out, it was, the rug was swept out from under us in 1947, okay, and the Bible was taken out of the schools, and all this namby-pamby, nimby crap, okay, the Santa Claus-like crap, right, of free stuff infected and permeated into this so-called free public school to the point now where these buffoons like Bernie Sanders can get up and be taken seriously and say, ho, 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 if you look at me, you'll get free college, or, you know, Obama, ho, 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 you know, you'll get free health care. So you can see, when you take a step back, this is another aspect of the quote conspiracy we see being played out before our very eyes, okay? But going back to, say, the book of Proverbs, you know, Proverbs 22:7, and I make this point very clear. You know, I do have another book out there. It's on my website. It's called They Live, Great Society of the Undead, okay? And it's available on the site, and you can download it for free. I ask for a donation. But anyway, I have a section in there on the Federal Reserve System, and I say, underneath all the nonsense, all this so-called, all these colleges, all these so-called educated professors, all these University of Chicago, Harvard Business School, CNBC, Fox Business News, all these buffoons running for president. I said, you can take all of them, you know, slaves to the Federal Reserve System, okay, slaves to the Federal Reserve media complex, media education slash banking complex, I should say. Okay, you can take all them. Rush Limbaugh is another one who thinks the Federal Reserve, you know, we need a Federal Reserve. We need a private bank issuing us our currency. Okay, that imbecile Limbaugh. Okay, once again, you know, we just want to be a conspiracy group. You know, we can't have Congress. We can't have representatives issuing us our money. But then they'll, you know, then they'll bankrupt the United States. Well, the Federal Reserve is bankrupt, right, the United States, idiot. But anyway, you can take all of that, all of the intellectual on one side, and you can weigh it against Proverbs 22:7, the debtor, the slave to the lender, okay? Now, for 100 years, the Federal Reserve model, so-called, has worked because it was free money, it was easy money, it allowed the United States welfare state, Lyndon Johnson's Great Society, these endless armies of useless government bureaucrats with their plush salaries and their retirement benefits and these welfare recipients and the free health care and all the other stuff and the food stamps and all this other stuff, okay, and allowed this nonsense and allowed these theories, allowed the Paul Krugmans of the New York slimes, all right, it gave him latitude to work, you know, like he knew what the hell he was talking about, that idiot, that Kendrian Fabian socialist moron idiot, Paul Krugman from the so-called paper of record. Okay, another establishment mouthpiece, by the way, okay, owned by a guy named Oakes. Okay, I think his name was Oakes, the founder of the New York Times. He was tied in with the, you know, with these so-called, you know, the big bankers, the real leaders, the Rockefellers and these kinds of people of his day. Okay, he bought the New York Times over 100 years ago. And all of a sudden, you know, then it becomes a newspaper of record. So you get people like Paul Krugman writing, saying, you know, the government has to go into debt to get out of debt. And this is just insane nonsense, okay? So you take all that, or the debtor is slave to the lender.
Right.
Now, who's right? You know what I'm saying? Just think about that. Who's right?
Right, exactly.
Okay. The Bible's right. We're all slaves. Uh-huh. We're all slaves. I mean, aren't we? I mean, think about it. We never, we don't own anything in this country. We don't. We're owned. We're owned by the Federal Reserve System, and of course, you know, at some point, we started loaning money to foreign governments because the Federal Reserve itself couldn't keep printing the money and keep the whole scam going without the whole thing being exposed. So we started recycling some of the money And when we still built stuff in this country, we still were making some money. We were able to sell debt to places like China and Japan to kind of keep the scam going. So we're owned. We're owned by foreign countries, and we're owned by the Federal Reserve System. And my question is, the people, a rhetorical question, who is right? Okay, we are sitting on a debt bomb, unmatched, unparalleled in world history.
Right.
Or all our Harvard so-called economic experts who called people like me that have been warning what's going to happen. What is the mathematical certainty of the Federal Reserve System? What's going to happen? Who's right? But you know what,
exactly.
Neil? At this point, who cares who's right? Because we've been seduced by the prospect of Santa Claus. We've been dumbed down in the banker. This free public education system, okay, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Endowment, okay, just watch your news or just read who's funding a lot of these colleges. Who funds the Columbia Teachers College, okay, who produces most of the teachers that go out and teach in colleges and schools in this country, okay, the number one producer of teachers for the so-called free public school system is the Columbia Teachers College, okay? Who funds those colleges? Who funds all these idiots? Who funds the environmental movement? Who funds this idiocy called evolution? And why do you want evolution in a school? Again, it's to eliminate God from society, okay? Because this is the founders, you know, they worked, you know, they were imperfect, okay? You know, I get it. Some of them owned slaves. I get it. They were not all perfect. They were human. They were fallible like the rest of us. But they gave us the ingredients. They gave us the instruction. They gave us the owner's manual to have the greatest society in the history of the world. Not perfect, because all humans are fallible. But they gave us, nonetheless, the greatest society, the ingredients. They gave us the roadmap. They gave us the book, and we've gone off the path. Okay, we've been seduced by the money changers at the Federal Reserve System and their free stuff. Okay, and now, 21st century, 2016, it's gotten to the point where an idiot like Uncle Bernie can get on national TV and be taken seriously when he says, "I'm going to give you all free college. I think we should have free college education." Well, you know, think, okay, Uncle Bernie, so you're a free car. Why not give me a free car? I want free food, by the way. Just give everybody $1 million in the country and we'll all be millionaires. You think about how stupid that is. Wait a second. Everybody's a millionaire, then money becomes, being a millionaire doesn't mean anything anymore. But nobody thinks like that. Nobody thinks critically anymore, okay? We're controlled, okay, and it's not by accident. Our money changers, our criminal overlords knew exactly what they're doing, and they've got us. It's just that simple. They've got us. Okay, so you have the godless, we have the godless system of Karl Marx and Harvard University communism, and, you know, really, you know, six-year-old Peter Pan utopianism, versus the God of the Bible, who I admit on the surface sounds harsh, okay, but when you become well-educated, well-versed in the Bible, and you put it all together and you look at it in the aggregate, it is really the most compassionate book, the most compassionate religion, and it's not an accident, okay, because as we discussed with the parable, remember in Matthew 19, or in the book of Acts, okay, the compassion is voluntary, okay? It's a true compassion, okay? It's not the compassion at gunpoint of Hitler's Germany or Bernie Sanders and Barack Obama's and Hillary Clinton's, armed to the teeth IRS or Hitler's Gestapo or Stalin's KGB or something like that, okay? It's not forced compassion with barbed wire and walls and and machine guns. Okay, and again, it's not that hard to figure out, but I guess this is why my favorite movie is John Carpenter's They Live. I mean, a 90-minute movie, simplistic movie, says more and tells more than in any other movie as far as I'm concerned.
Right, exactly. It's something, Rob, where I mean, how are we going to be able to manage this? And you said there's no stopping this. We're just going to have to wait till the final thing, till the final bell. That you know what I'm saying. I think we're at this part. You said that there's no coming back from this. God is going
to.
There's
not. I mean,
yeah.
Again, I think we mentioned this before, you know, if you go back to Luke 4, Matthew chapter 4, you know, and Satan tells Jesus, you know, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you get down and worship me. I mean, the obvious implication is that Satan already had control of the worlds, of the kingdoms of the world. If you think about it, how does he get the control? Okay, ultimately, he controls the money supply. Okay, so our Baal. Okay, the Old Testament God Baal. Remember in the last couple of shows, and this is kind of where all this ties in together. Remember the all-seeing eye of Osiris,
right.
Or Baal, or Ra on the back of our Federal Reserve note. You know, so Satan's behind the whole money system. Okay, the symbol's right there. It's right there in our faces. We don't realize it. But
exactly.
Basically, he owns the kingdoms of the world, and they're able to take it. So in other words, in this case, we don't have time to get into this. God, of course, lives outside of time and space. In Isaiah 55, us imperfect, finite beings, you know, us humanity, we're never going to understand the mind of God. We'll never understand God, okay, because he lives outside this four-dimensional scam we call reality. You know, three space, one time, you know, that's our so-called reality. He lives outside of those. Of those parameters, okay, so we'll never truly understand, but that's just the point. So in other words, he knew from the beginning of time that we were going to have this instruction book. He knew there would be a country known as the United States that would have the instruction book, the instruction manual, and if we just followed it, we would have the perfect, or not perfect, but the greatest society, which we did. For a time, I mean, people, I mean, you know, to tell you, I mean, anybody knows, I mean, people were literally, and they still are literally dying to get here, to the United States, because the United States was a beacon. It was a light on a hill, going back, you know, to the Sermon on the Mount, you know, a city on a hill cannot be hit. That was the United States for a time. Okay, God knew all this before the foundation of the world, but we have failed, okay, and we have failed to such an extent that the United States has become just the opposite of what it was intended to be, a cesspool of debt in the military-industrial complex and welfare and disease and discord and just everything that's wrong with humanity. That's what's becoming of this country, okay? Because we have abandoned our godly foundation and gone in a complete opposite direction, okay? And that's just that's the takeoff from tonight's show.
Right.
I can't sit here and pretend I can explain it. Isaiah 55, you know, just as the stars are far above, you know, and the sky above the earth, you know, so my thoughts are above your thoughts. Okay, Isaiah 55, okay, I'll never be able to explain it, but we have enough capacity, I've even talked about for the past hour, to understand just enough that if we leave the very specific guidelines spelled out in the Christian Bible, this is where we end up. Bernie Sanders, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, whatever you want to call it, this is where we end up. And it's just that simple. I mean, that's the cool conspiracy for you right there. And I'll just leave it at that for tonight.
Yeah, definitely. It's Rob, it's something that the where to go next, again, boxofsunglasses.com to purchase the book. Follow you at Rob Roselli. It's simple. Right when you get to the website, Rob, you could either download a free chapter of one of your old books or go ahead and purchase the book right there on the website. Am I correct, Rob?
Yeah. If you go to boxofsunglasses.com, I mean, it'd be book. And I'm in the process of publishing another book that's more of a fictional. We'll get into that in the next couple of weeks. But the Un-American Genocidal Complex that focuses on Adolf Hitler and the environmental movement and gets into some of the things that we talked about tonight is there. It takes you right to the publisher's website. And actually, I prefer that because I found that Amazon takes like 70% of the book price, you know, for its own profits, which is basically highway robbery. But anyway, the link is there on my site, boxofsunglasses.com, and everything else. I mean, there's got to be several books worth of material besides that available on the site.
Oh, there's oodles and oodles. You want to dig into it for all the research you've done, Rob. So thanks for calling, man. Well, next week, another great show. I look forward to it, and I like how we let off with the whole conversation just to kind of get a background and then say, this is why. And you have to listen to all the shows. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to my podcast and then just keep going every Monday night and just and listening, catch up on all the shows we've done so far. So take care, Rob.
I know. Thanks.
All right, take care. God bless. Bye. All right, that was Total Spotlight Show. Take care, everyone.
Everyone likes data because when you have more data, you have more freedom. Freedom to do whatever. That's why AT&T is offering you 15 gigabytes for $100 plus $15 for each line. Because the more data you have, the more freedom you can enjoy. Freedom to post more memories, download more fun, and share what matters most with who matters most. 15 gigs of data for $100 plus $15 for each line at AT&T. What more could you want? I sure can't think of anything. AT&T. Mobilizing your world.
Come in now and get the all-new LG V10, designed to capture, edit, and share high-quality video.
Pricing is monthly for service on smartphones on AT&T Next. Other pricing options available, overage monthly, and other charges and restrictions apply. See a store for details.